God, thank you for the men and women who love your word as much as I do, who desire to open it and to hear what you have to say to us each and every day. We pray, God, over this word as we jump into it once again, Father, that it would begin to change our lives, our view of ourselves, our view of who you are, and our view of what you have called us to do and to be, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, if you want to turn there, Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 4. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he said, "For he, Jesus, God, chose us in him, in Jesus, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight." Here's the word. "In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship," ladies, or daughtership, right? "Through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will." By God's own good pleasure and his will, you and I were chosen before the foundation of the world. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. I want you to think about that. Long before you ever were, a blip on the radar screen of life, God had a plan for your life. He had a purpose for your life. You were chosen. He's called you. I want you to understand that God has destined for every human being on the planet. That includes your fussy neighbor. Anybody got one of those? That includes your gossipy coworker. It includes your negative Nelly friend that always seems to see the negative in everything. It includes your crazy uncle and the Muslims living down the street. God chose every human being on the planet to be his son or daughter. He called every one of us to experience and have his love. Now, not all of us are going to accept it. Unfortunately, not all of us are going to take it, but I want to prove to you that God chose everyone in the world. Now turn to John chapter 3, verse 16. Everybody knows this verse. You could probably say it better than I can. Here it is. "For God so loved the what?" Does that mean everybody? Yes. That means everybody in the world. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever," or in some of those old King James, "whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life," or eternal life. Every one of us, God has chosen, God has called, and God is in love with. I want you to get your head around that. Look at your neighbor, tell him, "I'm a whoever." Or better yet, tell him, "You're a whoever." Now, God has been asking mankind since the beginning of time, "Will you accept me? Will you believe me? And will you follow me?" And what I love most is that Jesus never asks us to follow a religion. He never asks us to follow a denomination or a particular version of the Bible. He asks us to follow him, to accept him, and to love him. I know we have those things we like, those things that we have determined, but listen to me. If it has to do with religion, by the way, just so you know, my definition of religion came up with this a long time ago. My definition of religion is this. Religion is man's attempt at God's business. He didn't mean for us to get our hands all up in his business. He just meant for us to follow him. You see, we are supposed to love him because he first loved us. Now, I want you to understand a couple of things before I get into the meat of this message today. The first purpose of your life is to be loved by God, period, end of story. Your purpose in life is to be loved by God. Jude 1 says, "Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ." You see that? You have been called, you are loved by God the Father, you were kept for Jesus Christ. Above all things, you're loved by God. If I could just get you to get this one thing, you would have all you would ever need to live this life on earth and live it successfully. If you just understand this one fact, you are called to be loved by God. If you get nothing else out of today, please get that. Your first purpose in this life is to be loved by God. The first calling of your life is to enjoy a relationship with God. He wants us to be loved by Him. And then as a result of us realizing this love that He gives us is to jump into a relationship with Him. Not a religious practice. Not a set of do's and don'ts. Simply a relationship. You're loved by God. Romans 1:7, to all in Rome, Paul wrote, who are loved by God and called to be His holy people, His saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest part of your calling is to be in relationship with Jesus. But not just any relationship. You're not a relationship that just is something you do on Sunday, or just something you do on a Wednesday or a Monday, or when you go to Connect Group or something like that. This is something to be done every day. It's to be the number one priority of your life, is to be in relationship with God. A relationship, an intimate relationship with God, is one in which you share all things. There's nothing that you're withholding from Him. There's nothing that He withholds from you. He never does. That relationship is for you to be His son or daughter. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, we read this. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is it did not know Him. In Ephesians 3, 17, Paul wrote, he said, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted, listen to this, and established in love, may have the power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And look at these words in verse 19, and to know this love. To know this love that surpasses knowledge. It's not a kind of love that you can figure out right here. It's not a kind of love that you can put words to. It's a kind of love that is far above and beyond anything that we as human beings can think or imagine. It's wide enough, I want you to get this, to be everywhere. You can't stray too far to the right or to the left. He'll be there. His love will be there. You can't go outside of the boundary of His love. It's everywhere. It's long enough to last forever. There's no expiration date on the love of God. But there's an expiration date on us. There's no promise for us tomorrow. And so today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to accept His love. It's high enough that He overlooks your mistakes. Anybody in here got a few mistakes? We'd like to. Sometimes we can think those mistakes disqualify us from God. You couldn't possibly love me because I have trouble loving myself. I look in the mirror, I despise what I see, I know what I've done. How could you love me when I don't even love me? That's the great thing about God's love. His love's not like your love. And it's deep enough to handle anything. His love for you runs so deep that it can literally handle anything. Listen, people sometimes think they have a deep love for one another until the storms of life really hit. And when the storms of life come in like a torrent, when they come in and they overwhelm us, we get to really see and discover how deep our love is for one another, because things like big storms in life cause couples to separate, cause people to walk away from one another. We thought we loved each other. We thought we had a strong relationship, and all of a sudden, these things happened and we have now split. I guess our love wasn't that good. Listen, I want you to know God's love's not like that. God's love is much greater than that. It's deep enough to handle anything. As a matter of fact, it already has handled everything you've thrown at it. Every time you rejected Him, it was still there. Every doubt you've had, it never left you. Every fear you've had, He engulfed you even more. Every adulterous moment that you turned your focus to making Him your God, to something else your God, He still loved you. That's how deep His love is for you and I, and it never changes. Now, what happens when you fully understand the love of God for your life? What happens in the life of a person who fully understands the love of God for his or her life? The first thing is, we have an outline on your bulletin, you can follow along. The first thing is this, that you feel accepted rather than ashamed. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. When you understand that you have been made right with God, that there was nothing you did to become right with God, because there's nothing you can do to become right with God. Not enough good deeds, not enough great things, not enough nice words, not enough great attitude can make you right with God. The only thing that can make you and I right with God was one thing and one thing only. That was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Not enough of any action or attitude would God deem good enough for you and I to be made right with Him. When you grasp the magnitude of that one statement that you've been made right with God, it will change everything in your life. In the natural, when you understand that your wife or your friend no longer is holding something that you've done against them any longer, it frees you in that relationship. Imagine everything you've ever done that God knows, by the way, He knows all of it, and he holds none of it against you anymore because you're in Christ. And He says, no, go ahead and walk free. You never have to be ashamed in front of Me. I got to have coffee with a friend the other day who had done some things and he was ashamed of. And he was ashamed to sit in front of me. And I said, listen, of all the people, don't ever be ashamed to sit in front of me. Because I love you just like you are, and I don't care about those things. When we understand that God loves us in spite of ourselves, it changes everything. You don't have to be ashamed. You're accepted. Romans 8:33 says this, who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for His own? No one. For God Himself has given us right standing with Himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. The next time you're hearing condemning words, I want you to understand that they're not coming from God. The condemnation comes from the enemy. The Holy Spirit's in you to remind you of who you are in Christ. He's there to remind you, hey, listen, those things you did, that's not you. Come on, man. Come on, that's not you. You know you're better than that. You know God's got a greater plan for your life. Quit allowing the condemning word to keep you off track. I want you to see how much you're accepted. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 again. There's a statement that Paul makes in Ephesians chapter 1 that will literally change your life. Ephesians 1 verse 6 says, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Now you say, okay, so what are you talking about? Because I don't get it. The problem is you're looking at it in the English language, and there's a word in that sentence that is so powerful. It's the word blessed. It's really not a good representation of the original word, but we're going to go ahead and go with it. But the word in the Greek language is the Greek word charitou, charitoo. Now that word is interesting, and the important part is I want you to get is it's only used twice in the entire Bible, both in the New Testament. Once when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, the young virgin, and he says to Mary, Mary, you are highly favored. Same Greek word, charitou. Now here's God telling this young virgin, hey Mary, you are so highly favored that you're going to carry the Christ child. You're going to carry the Son of God in your body and bring Him to earth. He's looking at you and I through Ephesians chapter 1, and He's saying, you've been accepted, blessed in the Beloved. You are highly favored of God, so much so that I compare you to Mary, the mother of Jesus. How about that? I thought that would get like, wow, yeah, God, thank you, Jesus. All right, let's move on. The second thing you get when you begin to understand the love of God for yourself, completely understand the love of God, is you become bold in bringing your needs to God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are called children of God. So you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we also share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, he says this, "So let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Then we will receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it the most." When you really understand that what Jesus Christ has done on your behalf and all, excuse me, and all you have as a result of that relationship, you approach God differently. That water's somewhere down there. Thank you. Anybody in here, parents? How many parents are in the house this morning? Let me ask you a question. We can talk. Do you give your kids everything they ask for? Why? Because eight-year-olds have no idea what they need. They think they do. But an eight-year-old will come boldly, right? "Daddy, I want this motorcycle. I want this goes 200 miles an hour." You're like, "Kid, you're not getting that. I'm your daddy. I got to look out for you. I got to look out what's best for you. And right now at 8 years old, that's not the best thing for you. I get the big picture. You don't." It's when we come boldly to the throne of grace and we ask God, just because you hear no doesn't mean he's rejected you, doesn't mean he doesn't love you. As a matter of fact, because you don't see the big picture, you're like an eight-year-old. Children ask for what they want without concern for the big picture. Just like that eight-year-old, right? He has limited knowledge of life and the ability to make those large decisions. So it is with us when we ask God. We have limited vision, limited view of what God sees the whole thing and you can only see a part. I heard this illustration years ago. Anybody in here, you ever try to hang a picture in your house all by yourself? In a big picture about this wide. And you go to the wall and you set the thing on the wall. And you think you got it straight until you back up and you go back across the room and you look like, that thing's off center, it's crooked. And so you keep messing with it, playing with it over and over and over until you try to get it straight. And God is on the other side of the room and sees the whole picture. He could have told you right then and there exactly what needed to happen for the picture to be straight, but you only got part of the picture, you see. You know, and there are times we hear the word no. Oh, we hear nothing when we're praying, and we think of it as some sort of rejection or that God must not love me. And I've gone there a few times myself, right? So 6 years ago or so, we began looking for a building. You know how many, I can't even tell you how many buildings I looked at in this parish. I can't stand looking for buildings. I walked in and I would go, yeah, this will work. I just was so like super hopeful that anything would work. Yeah, we can knock these walls out and add some walls. Yeah, we could do this. And everyone was no, 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 no. Couldn't work, might have worked, didn't work, whatever the case may be. But God had a plan, right? And it wasn't until I happened to be at the right place where God had placed me at the right time to hear the words about 29 Park Place Drive and go, there's a check in my spirit. You need to inquire about that. And I hear about it, and then we listen what happens. I bring it to the board. I said, guys, what do you think? Nah, too much money. Not going to work. I blew it off. It's okay. It's just another one down. We'll find the right one at some point. And any time along the way, building after building after building, I could have said, God, what's the problem? Have I missed you? Have I missed your voice? Have I missed your calling? I believe you're calling me to do this. I'm just going to quit this stuff and go get a job. I'm going to get a job somewhere else, make some money. But no, I kept hearing the words of God in my ear. Son, I've called you to this. This is the plan. This is the purpose. You keep doing what I've called you to do, and I'll take care of the rest. And guys, listen to me. 3 weeks. 3 weeks from now, God willing, we're going to be in that place, right? 3 weeks. Be bold in the asking and trusting as you wait. Be bold in the asking and trusting as you wait for him to respond. Number three is the more you understand the love of God, you have a peace that you don't understand. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, say all things. It's not some things, it says all things. Does that mean all things? I think it does. God works for the what? Good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. I know I'm called. I know you love me. I know I love you. Then even though this doesn't look like it's working out, it's got to because your word says so. Peace comes when I have complete trust in God, complete trust in the person of Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard the phrase, you just know that you know? There have been times in this walk when I just knew that I knew. The first church meeting we had, six people in my friend's living room, I could have walked away then and said, you know, I don't think this is going to work. But God said, this is just the beginning of a new beginning. Just sit tight. It's going to work. Just come follow me. It's all going to work out. Because you know that you know. Quit allowing your circumstances to dictate what you believe or don't believe. You know, emotions are like the weather around here, right? You don't like the weather, you don't like your emotions, wait 5 minutes. And it can change at a moment's notice, right? And as our emotions change based on the happenings around us, don't let those circumstances steal from you what they don't own. See, peace comes from God. It doesn't come from the circumstances that I face. It doesn't come from the things that I'm dealing with. Peace comes from in here, from the Holy Spirit living inside of me. It's part and parcel of the fruit of the Spirit of God that lives in us, right? And as part of that, it doesn't matter what I'm facing. It doesn't matter how bleak it may look or how rough it may seem. On the inside, I can have peace in the midst of trial. I can have peace in the midst of difficulty. Let me take you back 10 years when I got a word from God in prayer one day that he wanted me to start a church called New Beginnings. I didn't have anything else. We didn't have a denomination saying, here's some money to go do it. I didn't have 50 people, 80 people saying, hey, we'll come follow you. I just got a word from God. But coupled with the word from God was this incredible peace that followed. All the circumstances around me told me, this is foolish. I had people, my dad asked me, "What, son, have you lost your mind? Are you feeling okay? Because these are that you are not making rational decisions." So no, Dad, I'm making faith decisions because I believe I got a word from God. I didn't get a word from the tacos I ate last night. I didn't get a word from my wife or my friend. I didn't get a word from somebody who thought I was great. I got a word from God. He said, I want you to go start a church to make a difference, to be significant in this parish, and I want you to go do it, and I'm going to be with you, and we're going to do this together, and you're going to be blown away at what happens. So quit allowing your circumstances to dictate to you peace or fear, peace or worry. You can have it because you already own it in Christ. Amen? Yes. Number four, when you understand the love of God completely, you gain the courage to take risks. It's why I could step out. It's why people step out every day and do things that seem almost impossible. 1 John 4:18 tells us there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. You see, fear can't be part of my life because I understand God's perfect love for me. I know that all things work together for the good of those who love him, that's me, and are called according to his purposes. I have his purpose in my heart. I'm called. I know I am. I know you are. Quit allowing your circumstances to dictate fear in your life. Gain the courage to take some risks. Now, I want you to know, courage is not the absence of fear. It is fear properly placed in God. There have been times I was afraid. There have been times I thought, I can't do this. I'm not equipped for this. God, you know, because we look at ourselves and we go, God, you got the right guy? Moses did it. Moses thought, God, can you pick my brother? You pick somebody else, not me. I stutter. I'm not good with words. Plus, I ran from Egypt because they wanted to kill me. And God's like, no, you're the deliverer. Go back. You know, I know this one thing above all other things, that he loves me with this everlasting love. I want you to know that he loves you with the same everlasting love. I am his favorite, but you come in a close second. And because I know that he loves me with this everlasting love, fear must take a back seat. Oh, I've had opportunity to be fearful. We all have opportunity to be fearful. The world's going to continue to deal you opportunity to be fearful. But when you understand, completely comprehend the love of God for you, fear can't stand. And last, but certainly not least, I'm glad I saved this for last, because I want you to get the magnitude of what I'm about to tell you. When you completely comprehend the love of God for you, when you fully understand it, your ultimate response will be one of worship. Paul told the Roman church in Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. He's saying, in light of all that Jesus has done for you, in light of all that you have as a result of your relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to offer your body literally as a living sacrifice. That's worship. The writer of Psalm 95 wrote these words, starting in verse 1. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it. And in his hands he formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Listen, when you truly understand the love that God has given you, that what he's already done for you, your only response will be one of worship. I can't explain to you his love so much so that you go, okay, I get what he's talking about. Yes, I can comprehend it now. No, you have to understand God's love in a revelation. The only way that you're ever going to really understand God's love is to experience it for yourself. I can sit up here all day long and give you words and give you examples of what God's love looks like, but until you experience it for yourself, it'll just be empty words. It'll be like Charlie Brown's teacher in the front of the classroom, wah, 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 wah. You're never going to get it until you experience it for yourself. There's a song out right now. It's called So Will I by Hillsong Worship. And the other day as I was preparing this sermon, I thought about the words to the song that they repeat over and over, So Will I. And let me share with you a few of the lines in the song. And as I began to hear it, God, I just was just overwhelmed by God's love, by God's faithfulness. Listen to the words. He said, if the stars are made to worship, so will I. He said, if creation sings your praises, so will I. If creation still obeys you, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. And if you gave your life to love them, so will I. Do you get the magnitude of the love of Almighty God for your life? If God said, I love you with an everlasting love, there's nothing you can do to change that, and I'll love you till the day that you die and come home to be with me. Amen. Our only response to this God is a response called worship. When people ask me, I love it, why do you guys worship like you do? Why do you have to raise your hands and shout and clap and yell? Because we understand the love of Almighty God, because we get what He's done for us, and my only response is one of worship and excitement. God wants us to worship Him with our attitude, with our family, with our friends, with our finances, in our workplaces, in our hobbies. I like to worship God in every part of my life. You know why? Because He deserves it. He will have all of my worship for the rest of my life on this earth, and then for all eternity, because I realize that He loved me first. My only response to Him is one of worship. That's how I want to end the service today. I want us to worship Him. So would you stand with me if you begin to understand the love of God? I want to hear your voices over their voices. I want to hear you over these instruments, and I want you to worship like you get it. I want you to worship like you understand, yes, you love me first, and I'm going to give you everything right now in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. God, the love that you give us, it is overwhelming. God, as I think about the magnitude of your love, as I think about the grace that you've poured out upon our lives, I can't help but love you back. God, my prayer is that this love will become so infectious to the people of New Beginnings Church, to the people of this community, God, we will literally begin to see a revival break out in this parish. More lives saved, more lives coming to know you as Lord and Savior, all because they begin to understand the love of Almighty God. We bless you today. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, and ask you to bless us as we worship you out of here in Jesus' name.
You are here.